Good morning and welcome everyone this morning. One thing I did want to make sure we pointed out today was the voters meeting on Tuesday. It's coming Tuesday at 7. There's lists of it in your Zion's Light, so please take a look at that. There's an easel out in the middle with some of the information on it, so please stop by and take a look at that. You'll notice the Rite of Friendship is now back in the pew if you'd like to begin using that, and our offering plates will be passed as normal this morning. So we're doing those little things, getting back to normal. I did stop Dora this morning and said, rescue me. I'm probably going to make about 15 mistakes today. So we'll see. It said it's old, it's comfortable, and new, all at the same exact, time, you know. And I was also thinking this morning, I thought I'd ask you to use your imaginations, because it was brutally hot yesterday, right? So I want you to take a moment while you're adjusting the air conditioning in here, and I want you to imagine yourself pushing your grocery cart through a parking lot in a quarter inch of slush with freezing rain coming into your face. Not so bad outside. We'll take this for a month and a half. So, you know, cause the other's gonna come back sooner or later. So, well, let's go ahead and get going this morning, and we begin our divine service with the singing of our opening hymn.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, June 13th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Terry Biggs. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 689, Let Me Be Thine Forever, hymn number 689 found in the Lutheran service book. Josh and Rachel Welker are sponsoring the radio broadcast and the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of their 9th wedding anniversary.
Rise. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Confess our sins. God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with our responsive song. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree, and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the second article?
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of Christ, we confess our sin. We confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We're going to have a children's message today, so at this time, any of the children who would like to come forward are invited forward for the children's message. Muffins. Well, you know what? It does look like muffins. What do you think that is?
Potatoes.
Potatoes. Does that look like potatoes? Little cut up pieces of potatoes. Okay. Oh, hey, come on, have a seat. Come on, Riley. So, these cut up little pieces of potatoes. God. Cut up little pieces of cut up potatoes, Leo. Become this. What is this?
Potatoes growing.
Yeah, a potato is growing, right? Those little cut up, you bury them in the ground, and they become that. Okay. Now, what's this one? Let's see. Oh, yes, this one. Any idea?
Seeds.
Any guess what kind of seeds? Any guess what kind of seeds? I thought they looked like matches, but this becomes that. Marigolds. Marigolds. These, when you plant them, become these. How about that? Like, you know that, right? Your flowers, exactly. Exactly. And then this last one. Okay. That one. It's a seed, right? Little bitty, tiny, little, tiny seed. Can you see it on the guy's finger? Like, just a tiny... That is the seed that Jesus was talking about in our reading. And that seed becomes something like this. Yeah. A mustard tree. Yeah. That's it. It's not the same kind of mustard that we get mustard, yellow mustard from. Kind of like a cousin of it. I think. See that? So what we see isn't always what is. Like, I have this here. What do you see? Well, what do you see? Yeah, what do you see? What do you see? Your face. Well, but if you look hard enough, you might someday see a mom. Because you're just a seed, a little nugget of what is going to be someday. An aunt, a mom, a dad, an uncle. There's all kinds of things. Could be a farmer, could be a fireman. Who knows? Could be a doctor. Right? Because are you done growing? No. No. You see, the Bible was telling us today about seeing things that we don't see. Like when we look out there. Now we see regular people, don't we? We see a building, don't we? But you know what? This place is where heaven meets earth. This place here that we call church is where people meet with God. These people that you're looking at, and you too, that you see, are God's people. They are the church. Now they look rather everyday and ordinary, but they're a whole lot more than that. Just like you are a whole lot more than what you see in the mirror. When Jesus comes back, and he will come back, every one of these people, and that means you folks too down here, you kids, will be changed. Now St. Paul says what we will be, we don't know, but we know that when Jesus appears, we will be like him. For we will see Jesus as he is. Maybe we'll all shine as bright as the sun. Some may be brighter than others. Like star differs from star in brightness. But they'll be like stars. So will you. And you'll be perfect. Just like God intended before sin came into the world. What we see isn't everything that we get. Things are different when they come to full bloom. And so as we look at each other, as we look at normal things like water for baptism, bread and wine, which is Christ's body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, we understand that what we see here, there's a lot more to it than the things on the surface. It's a lot different. Because all of this is going to be changed. All of this is going to be glorified. All of this is going to shine like the sun and the stars someday. That's you. That's your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents, all of us who believe that Jesus was born for us, lived a perfect life for us, died for us, rose again for us, and will come again someday to make this whole world and all of us perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so much of this world is not what it seems to be. Just like a plant in the fields, when we plant the seed in the ground, we know that it will sprout and grow and turn into wonderful flowers or food for our bellies. We thank you for that. But we thank you that you have given us the seeds of things to come in our faith, in your word, even in our own bodies. Bless us, O Lord, and bring us at last to the glory that is ours in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Kids, thank you for coming down this morning. Go ahead and head back to your seats, and we'll continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is number 720, We Walk by Faith and Not by Sight, number 720, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text from 2 Corinthians. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Right, that's Take a look back. I'm going to invite you again today to take a look back at the sermon hymn or the hymn of the day. If you just open that hymnal, right, or hymnal, order of service, right back up and take a look at it. That first line, we walk by faith and not by sight. We haven't heard Jesus audibly speak to us, right? But we believe him near. Isn't that what stanza one is saying? Now look at stanza two. We may not touch his hand or his side, or be able to walk and follow him along, right? Nor follow where he trod. But we rejoice in his promise and cry, my Lord and my God. So we're walking through that and look down at stanza four. The resurrected Lord is found where? In bread and wine. He's found in water, in the Word. These are the places where Jesus is found. And stanza 5 shows the dividing line in our life of faith. right? It says, Lord, when our life of faithful, life of faith is done, we will behold you as you are with clear and endless sight. Okay, now I don't want anybody to think that we don't have faith in heaven. There is that dividing line. Either by the second coming or by death, we will see God face to face. And really, the object of our faith never changes. Whether it's here, the object of our faith is Christ. Whether it's in heaven, the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. One, we do not see directly. That's here in this life. In heaven, we will see directly. We will see Jesus face to face. Heavenly sight will not end faith, because faith is trust, and trust goes right on in heaven. The difference is this. Right now, here, faith has to go on without sight. In heaven, faith and vision will be one. They'll be together. Right? So today, what are we dealing with? We're dealing with the things that are not seen, like enduring, continuing on in the unseen things until they come to pass. It's like we're looking at things that are supposed to be dormant or dead, and seeing them for what they really are, not for what they look like. You know, things that don't look like much at all, but in fact really are something very special. And this starts percolating when we look at our opening hymn. So I'd ask you to do that again. Just take that bulletin. I know. When I was a younger person, pastor would have asked me to look at the bulletin. I'd have been like, that's not right. I just need to listen and pay attention. But I'm going to ask you, you know, to just take a look at it and that opening hymn. Now, call it the rhyme scheme, call it the meter, call it what you will. You look at the end of those words. Okay. So you got your first stanza, let me be thine forever, right? Skip a line, forever, never, waver, forever, right? They all end in E-V-R. Then you have the O-R-D's, Lord, word, right? Right? You see where that changes just a little bit at the end of that stanza. Steadfastness, bless. You see how that all ends together like that? That rhyme scheme in that hymn. The second stanza, they're ending in the first two lines, four lines end in Asian, like salvation, consolation. Then you skip one, the divine, thine, me, pain, obtain. You see how that ends? Those words are ending in the same types of ending, every other line like that. Spirit, merit in stanza three. Guide, confide. There again, confessing, blessing. Right? And then all of a sudden, faith, and you're baited, you're ready to go, you're ready for another eighth, and then it's death. It just drops. It's like a literary and physical stop. It just brings you, pulls you up. We've got all these things going on, and then all of a sudden, the author of this hymn just flipped it on you, and it's like it ends at death. Like, I thought that was, you know, when I'm reading through this hymn and thinking about it, reading it, and all of a sudden you notice this is what's going on. Everything rhymes all the way up to the very last word of the entire hymn, and a death, and it just stops you dead in your tracks, right? And it's dissonance. The rhyme scheme comes to a stop. But is it a stop? That's the question we're going to ask. Is death a stop for us? No, because we look to the things that are unseen. We live by faith and not by sight. And that is a theme that is running through the Lord's Day today, this Lord's Day. Ezekiel tells us about a sprig, taking a sprig off the top of a cedar, right? And that's what one of the kings called himself, the cedar, right? But he was a wicked king. So Ezekiel's like, yeah, God will take a sprig off the top of the cedar. That's why you get all that tree, I'll make the tree, I water it, I make the green tree dry. You know, God is saying, look, buddy, you're not in charge, I'm in charge. But the imagery, take this sprig off the top, breaking off a bit of a branch. You don't think, usually you break off a branch and somebody just throws it on the ground and it dies. But God's not saying that. He said, ooh, no, I'm going to break this off, I'm going to plant it, I'm going to tend it, and it's going to to live, and the Lord will plant it, and it will become noble, and this is the kingdom of grace, this is the kingdom of God. It appears to lack any power and authority. It is simply built on words, and people might look at it and say, anybody can do that. You can say anything you want, but it's got to bear itself out. It's an empty, shallow husk of a kingdom. Crush it, and all you will see is dust. But that is not true. It is not so. This sprig, this tender shoot of the line of David, is planted and tended by the Lord himself. This heavenly kingdom, so weak by earthly standards, is growing, and it shall grow into a tree to cover all nations. Right? What is that kingdom growing into? The kingdom of grace? That's God's church on earth. Right? Spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, because Jesus is that tender sprig of the house of David, because the cedar was the house of David. So Jesus is that tender sprig that the Lord nourishes and causes to grow. The Messiah shall rise from a lowly origin as a branch from the tree of David. The tree of David that is all but extinguished, perished, dead, the family of the king. The Messiah will rise to rule his kingdom. He will rule his kingdom, his church, under his stable and loving care. And this kingdom will extend throughout the entire world as it gathers into it every people from every race and nation and clan and tribe brought in under its gracious rule. This foreshadows the gospel reading where Jesus looks backwards towards Ezekiel's prophecy. And looking backwards towards Ezekiel's prophecy, of course, Jesus grabs imagery that people are very familiar with. And it's an analogy which his hearers would readily grasp hold of. Jesus describes the kingdom of God and says, look, it looks so tiny. It looks so small. It's the smallest seed in the garden, right? It looks like that which is ineffectual and ineffective, and yet great nourishment lies within it. Here is a small seed, but birds of every kind will nest in its branches. What is this imagery, this analogy, other than the kingdom of God itself? The kingdom of grace, the church. Again, Jesus says, people of every nation, tribe, race, language, clan will fall under the kingdom of grace. Now that opening hymn ends with death. And in the readings, right, we see the seed is scattered. The hymn of the day ends with a pointing at death. It's a picture of death and a picture of life. Just as Jesus says in John chapter 12, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Again, with this paradox, this thing that looks dead actually brings much life with it. Consider our funeral readings that we often read from St. Paul. But some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And when you sow, you do not sow the plant, the body that will be, but just a seed. And St. Paul writes, so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And this walks us right into the epistle reading for today. And what is the epistle reading saying? We're traveling. You're traveling. You're walking. Right? You're walking. Where are you going to walk? That's kind of important because that kicks us back to Psalm number 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the path of the wicked or sit in the seat of mockers, right? Or abide in the counsel of the deceivers, right? So where are we going to walk at? Which path are we going to walk in? Not so the righteous, whatever the righteous does, prospers, because the righteous walks, endures, right? That's an enduring word. These words are enduring words. These are traveling words, continuing words. The righteous endures in the path of God, right? So we're walking by faith now, and St. Paul is saying, what do we have as we walk? We have a tent house. That's what we have as we walk. We have a tent house. The tent house is this life. Not necessarily our bodies, per se, but this entire life, this mortal existence, and all that we experience here. But what we don't see and do trust is that we also have a house from God, a permanent, a glorious, a blessed existence in the heavenly realms. So let one form of our existence, our tenting here, come to an end, be folded up, put away like a tent. Let that happen, Paul says. We have another existence prepared for us. We're planting it all together, he's saying. There's a seed, what is now. And then there's the entire plant, what will be. A tent now, a house to come. Currently temporary, permanent later. Temporary now, permanent later. It's no secret we groan in this life. Everybody here knows that. And that's a fair enough statement. Everybody knows this life is full of trial and tribulation and troubles and heartbreakings and all kinds of things, right? And we do long while we're here to enter our blessed existence. We don't hurry it along. What do? We bear our crosses as our crosses are given to us to bear. And we wait for the life to come. We long for glory. Our heavenly existence, which we will put on either at death or at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This glory envelops our souls, as St. Paul says, it swallows up the mortal life and brings us what is immortal. Okay, so the realities of what this is, it really can't be put into human language because no human has experienced yet and nobody's seen it yet, but it is to come. So what we know is that there's glory, there's bliss, there's joy everlasting, which also means if you flip that coin over, what is there not? There is no tears, there is no sorrow, there is no sadness, there is no crying, there is no pain. All of the negatives are done away with. All of the negatives of our tenting here in this life have passed away. Now, it's not easy to put divine things into earthly language. So St. Paul basically tells us our one existence, our tent existence, is taken down, folded up, and put away like a tent. And the new heavenly existence will be opened up to us, either like as a building, he might say, or putting on the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you need to remember that in the trials and the tribulations of this life. That's why it's important for us to be in the divine service and worship each and every week. Because what is right smack dab in front of your nose every single day of your life? The tenting, the trial, the tribulation. And it's easy to get overwhelmed by the trial, the tribulation, the things of this life. Right? And so we come here and we're reminded each and every week of the life that is to come, of the building that we have from God, the glory that is to be yours when Jesus Christ comes in all his glory, or when you are called from this life into the greater life that is to come. Right? We feel our trials, we feel our tribulations, we feel our temptations, we feel our sins. Do we feel our glory? Not so much. But we need to be reminded that our glory is there. It's inside of us. It's waiting to be revealed because you are baptized children of the true and living God. You are confessors of Jesus Christ. And like a farmer, we understand that there's a whole lot more to the seed that has been planted than we see with our mortal eyes. So take Paul and his compatriots. They had trials. They had tribulations. Paul had to have another job while he was working as an apostle. He was a tent maker. They suffered riots. They suffered beatings. They suffered imprisonments. Death was hanging over their heads constantly, all of the time. And in the middle of this, what was their comfort? The things not seen. The eternal weight of glory that they were waiting for, right? Their everlasting home in heaven. So should death strike them down, St. Paul says, should death strike me down? That's okay. I have another home in heaven. I'm going to my permanent home. And the same is true for us. We have a trust. We have a confidence. We call confidence faith. That's what it is. You have faith that you have a home in heaven, a permanent building, not like this tent that we have now. You have hope in the life to come. So what are we saying today? What we see isn't all that there is. So I want you to remember that. I want me to remember that as we live out our Christian life together in the here and the now and these days as you travel towards your eternal life. This life isn't all that there is. There is a next life to come. For the believer, it is glory. For the unbeliever, it is condemnation. For the believer, it is joy. For the unbeliever, it is sorrow. For the believer, it is the loosening of the bonds of pain. For the unbeliever, it is bearing the bonds of pain for all of eternity. But there is a next life that is to come. You and I, we look forward to that life that is to come. As you pray, as we as a congregation pray, it's important that we thank the Holy Spirit for inspiring St. Paul to remind us to look and to see the plant that resides inside of the seed, the house instead of the tent, the life in place of the death, so that in Holy Spirit created faith, each and every one of us look forward to our true home, the home that will be revealed when our Lord comes in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and your minds, the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us all now rise for prayer. Holy Spirit, light divine, thank you for inspiring St. Paul to remind us to look forward to the life to come. As we travel through this life, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help the eyes of faith focus on that which is unseen, so that we do not lose heart, but instead engage our trials and tribulations in faith, looking forward to the life of glory that is to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O God, we groan under the many burdens we have in this earthly tent, and we long to be clothed with your eternal life, which will swallow up all mortal sorrow. Strengthen your servants who groan under mortal ailments. We pray for Lois Batten as she prepares for heart surgery, asking that it would be successful. And Lord, we also thank you for April Mox's successful surgery and pray for her continued recovery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opening up of our state and our society. We pray that the coronavirus and its attendant problems would be held at bay, and that you would continue to strengthen our people in their bodies and keep us healthy and strong. We also pray for continued health for all of those in the world who are still battling this pandemic, and pray that they too would receive those things which will help them fight and battle this virus and put it at bay in their countries and cities and towns also. Receive our thanks for all that we have been able to experience this weekend and our joy looking ahead. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord God, your Holy Spirit plants your word, causing it to sprout and grow as it pleases you. Bless the preaching and teaching of your word so that your kingdom may be extended, and give us thankful hearts, O God, to marvel at your work. Send faithful laborers into your fields to scatter your seed here and abroad, that in due time a harvest may be reaped to your glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of the harvest, it is now the reality that there are few workers for your harvest fields, especially within our Central Illinois congregations. Hear us as we pray for the congregations who seek a pastor for word and sacrament ministry. Send pastors to serve St. Paul Savannah, Faith Lincoln, and Zion New Holland, so that the believers in those communities may be fed and the harvest in their towns increase to the glory of your kingdom. All this we ask in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, or on Facebook Live, or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sundays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that cometh down from above, that thy word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 830, Spread the Reign of God the Lord, number 830 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Again, just please be reminded of the special voters meeting that we're having this coming Tuesday, 7 p.m. here in the church. Please stop by, if you haven't already, to the Vacation Bible School table and see if there's anything that you can help out with or maybe donate for Vacation Bible School. And please check your Zion's Light for any of the other announcements and schedules that are going on here at the church. And may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.